Hey, everybody. Welcome in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, the play-by-play voice of the Johns Hopkins Blue Jays here in Baltimore. Of course, that's what I'm doing when there is college sports happening. Of course, we've had a lot of baseball news over the past couple of days as the owners, the players, Rob Manfred, and everyone involved is trying to put together a plan to return to play. The plan right now, the potential of spring training in June and a opening day that would be right around the 4th of July, that is what they're shooting for right now, and there'd be a facility in Utah where all the players would go multiple times per week to get tested. But there's a lot that still needs to be worked out with this plan, and obviously players, especially Sean Doolittle and Blake Snell this week, have voiced their concerns about this plan and about the safety of the players, and I tend to agree with them. There's also been a lot of talk about the money and who's losing the money. Listen, I know players make millions of dollars, but owners make billions with a B. And if an owner says that 70-plus percent of their revenue comes from ticket sales and that they can't operate at this kind of loss, both of those things are lies. These owners make over $1 billion. Billions with a B. Not millions that the players make. Billions with a B. It's up to the owners to hold to their word from earlier in the year that said it would be a clean 50-50 split and not try and take more than half of the money and take even more of the contract money away from the players if we do get a season here at some point. But it's been an interesting couple of days of news. Also today on Friday as I record this, more news coming out about the draft. Officially, it will be on June 10th and 11th. The first round will be the night of June 10th. It will air all remotely at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And then rounds 2 through 5 will air on the 11th, starting at 5 p.m. Eastern time. And again, everything will be done remotely. It'll kind of look similar to what you saw in the NFL draft, if you watched that a couple of weeks ago. And if you want to get some more info on the draft changes this year, what the Orioles might do, our last episode, back on Wednesday, we had Taylor Blake Ward on. He is the host of Locked On Angels, but is also a writer who covers the Major League Baseball draft, and he gave us a lot of good insight into it, so go back to our last episode and listen to that one. But today we will continue the little series we've been on, looking at former Orioles around the league, and we look to the Mets today, and specifically to Brad Brock, who, of course, the Orioles traded over to the Braves back in 2018 when they started trading off a lot of players that year. He went over to Atlanta at the deadline, and that was his free agency year. Atlanta didn't re-sign him. He signed with the Cubs that offseason, but did not pitch well with the Cubs last year. He did get a lot of chances, though. It was kind of interesting how much he pitched, considering his numbers. Ended up in 42 games, totaling just under 40 innings with the Cubs, but had over 6 on the season, at 6.13. And after that, the Cubs finally released him on August 5th. And 3 days later, August 8th of 2019, he signed with the Mets. And he helped kind of shore up a pretty bad Mets bullpen last year, helped them go on that run late in the season to flirt with a potential wild card. Of course, they won 86 games last year, but came up short of the playoffs. And Brock was much better with the Mets last year. He ended up pitching down the stretch in 16 games with New York, 14 and two-thirds innings, and the ERA was down to 3.68. And he is back with the Mets for 2020 if we get a season, re-signed to another one-year deal with the New York Mets in the offseason. So to talk about Brad Brock, his time with the Mets, and also talk about, you know, the Mets in general and what's going on over there is they've got another new manager coming off a winning season. They've got some highly paid guys on that team, a good pitching staff, some good young players like the rookie of the year, Pete Alonso, and a breakout guy in Jeff McNeil. Yoenis Cespedes may be coming back from his injury if we get a season. A very, very interesting team in the very tough NL East. So to help us break down the Mets, we will be joined here by the host of Locked On Mets here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and it's Ryan Finkelstein who joins us here on the pod. And Ryan, thanks so much for taking some time today.
I appreciate you having me on.
So we've had a series over the past couple of weeks, just looking at some former Orioles over the past few years who have gone to other teams. And one of their big-time relievers who actually made an all-star game with the Orioles as a non-closer, which is pretty rare to do as a reliever, is Brad Brock, who finished 2019 with the Mets. And whenever we get a 2020, if we do, he's poised to be back into that New York Mets bullpen. So I want to start with Brock, 16 appearances, a 3.68 ERA after coming over to the Mets last season. What did he bring to the Mets bullpen, and then kind of what will his role be if we get a 2020 season?
Well, I'll say, I mean, anyone who watched the Mets last year saw how bad that back end of the bullpen was early on in the year. They went on that great run in the second half, of course, right around the trade deadline. And Brad Brock was a big part of it. He came in and, you know, he was a stable presence. He threw strikes. He didn't have the best numbers. Like you said, 3.68 ERA. It's not like he was lights out, but he was so much more consistent than a lot of the guys they were throwing out there. And also, I think from a fan perspective, everyone kind of liked the story of Brad Brock because he spoke about growing up as a Mets fan in New York and, you know, loving David Wright and being there for David Wright's last game. So that kind of tie really made him a fan favorite quickly. And I think everyone was happy when he re-signed this offseason, signs on a really team-friendly deal. So I think Brad Brock is going to continue to be a stable, you know, arm in the Mets bullpen. And as you know from watching with the Orioles, he's a guy who's been around the block. He knows what he's doing. He knows his role. He knows how to prepare. And I think if you look at what he did with the Cubs before he ended up, you know, going through waivers and ending up on the Mets, I mean, some of his numbers were a little bit skewed. I think playing in those, you know, NL Central ballparks might have kind of ballooned his ERA. And I think he's still going to be a really effective pitcher for a few more years here.
Yeah, as you mentioned, you know, it wasn't a trade last year. He signed with the Cubs before the season, and he pitched a lot with Chicago, but he really wasn't great. The ERA was up over 6 in 42 games, so they put him on waivers, and it ends up he signs with the Mets. Was it surprising for you and for Mets fans that a guy like Brock with the proven track record was available on waivers and didn't have to be, you know, gotten through a trade?
Yeah, I think, you know, you look at the time, and of course you see that ERA that you talk about, and you think, okay, well, that's why he goes through waivers. But if I remember, I believe his FIP was lower than that ERA. And then you look and you remember the track record, and you remember, like you said, him being an all-star with the Orioles, and at the time for the Mets, I mean, you're talking about a bunch of taxi squad minor leaguers that were getting a lot of innings. So having that veteran presence come in, it really was exactly what the Mets needed at the time. And, I mean, basically at the time when the Mets got Brad Brock, it was Seth Lugo and nothing else really working. And between Brad Brock and Justin Wilson and, of course, the steady presence of Lugo, the Mets cobbled together a pretty good back end of their bullpen down the stretch there.
And so you touched on it a bit with Lugo. You know, he's always in so many different roles. And Brock back and the guys they've had in there, obviously Familia at the back end for a while. What does Brock's role look like it'll be, you know, assuming we maybe get a shortened 2020 season? Does he have any chance at a potential closer role, or is he more of a middle reliever setup guy?
Right now, the Mets, I mean, they have a lot invested in Edwin Diaz. They made that trade sending one of the best prospects in baseball, and Jared Kelenic, to the Seattle Mariners. Of course, they got Robinson Cano back in that deal as well, but they really want to see Diaz work out. So he is going to be the closer until he loses that job. They also have a lot of money invested in Jeurys Familia, as you mentioned. So I think they're banking on a bounce back year from those two guys. That's what they were hoping for going into this season. But you still have other guys like Seth Lugo who are coming off better years. So I don't see Brock necessarily being the closer this year. But if other guys don't perform, I can absolutely see him being one of those setup men, or if anything, at least being in the middle of that bullpen, getting a lot of work.
Yeah, it's been interesting for him. You know, He made the All-Star team in basically a middle relief role back in 2016, which is kind of almost unheard of. It's been happening a little more often lately, but he did have 18 saves in 2017 and did have 12 more in 2018 after the Orioles had gotten rid of Zach Britton. So he does have a little bit of success in that role. But Brock will be back with the Mets, and he'll be part of the bullpen wherever it is if and when this season starts, just because of that track record and the success from last year. But the Mets as a whole, you know, you kind of ran down those relievers, and pitching wise in general for the Mets, they lose Zach Wheeler and he signs with the Phillies, but of course Marcus Stroman's still there, who they got in the deal last year, and he's still around with that contract, still keeping him with the Mets for now. So what, if anything, did the Mets add this offseason to help with the loss of Wheeler / still the struggles that bullpen had?
Well, they went out and they got Michael Wacha and Rick Porcello, a couple guys coming off down years. It was a little bit odd to get two starters to kind of vie for that fifth starter role. And there was a problem early on in spring training with trying to decide who was going to be in the rotation, because a lot of those Mets starters are pitching really well. Then Noah Syndergaard goes down with the Tommy John surgery, and that kind of solved that problem, but of course created a bigger one, losing such a dynamic pitcher like Syndergaard. So as of now, if the season starts, you're looking at Jacob deGrom and Marcus Stroman being the two guys you can really count on at the top of the rotation. Steven Matz was very good at home last year, but he was bad on the road, so they hope he can be that guy he was at home everywhere he goes next year, and then maybe he will be a solid number three. And then they're counting on a couple bounce-back years from Porcello and Wacha. So I think the starting rotation is nowhere near at the caliber it was at the end of last season when you had a healthy Syndergaard and Zach Wheeler, but they still have enough talent that they can compete in the NL East.
All right, everybody, I want to tell you about Built Bar. It's, first of all, the best tasting bar. It's hard to explain it until you really taste one, experience it. Real chocolate, amazing flavors. You know, you eat it and you're kind of thinking about that protein bar taste maybe that a lot of bars have. Not really the case here with Built Bar. No aftertaste. Just tastes good. It kind of feels like eating a candy bar, really. You get those chocolate flavors, the peanut butter, the caramel, everything you want in a dessert, but it's a protein bar. It's an amazing combination, low calorie, high protein, low sugar, no, none of those crazy additives. And if you compare it to the most popular men's bar, protein bar, it has half the calories, seven times fewer the carbs, seven times fewer the grams of sugar, and it's got more protein as well. It's really crazy. How can it be that good for you? And also taste that good. But if you head to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON, you can get $10 off your first box at www.BuiltBar.com. Just go to BuiltBar.com, look around. You can build a box. You can add all the different flavors to it. There's plenty of different flavors. Nut-free bars as well, out of a nut-free facility. So really good with the allergies as well. But again, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON to get $10 off your first box of Built Bar. This podcast is sponsored by the audiobook edition of 24, Life Stories and Lessons from the Say Hey Kid. In this reflective and inspirational memoir, the legendary Willie Mays shares the inspirations and influences responsible for guiding him on and off the field. Widely regarded as the greatest all-around baseball player in history, the beloved Willie Mays offers people of all ages his lifetime of experience meeting challenges with positivity, integrity, and triumph. This special audiobook production includes a foreword read by Bob Costas and a bonus conversation with Willie Mays and his co-author John Shea. Whether you miss seeing your favorite players on the field this season or are looking for the perfect Father's Day gift, 24 is the inspiring story of one of sports fans' favorite living legends. Buy the audiobook edition of 24 now, wherever audiobooks are sold. And obviously, you mentioned Syndergaard. He'll have the Tommy John surgery and won't pitch even if there is a 2020 season. But obviously, this team gets to the World Series in 2015. They lose in five games, but it's well documented they had a lead in every single game. Has it been frustrating at all for Mets fans since then, knowing that they've been able to, despite some injuries, keep that almost all of that core rotation together, except for what happened to Matt Harvey, but they really still haven't been able to bounce back into that position where, you know, they looked like a World Series team and got there the one year in 2015?
Yeah, it's definitely been frustrating to watch. I think, this is kind of turning into, Mets fans will know Generation K back in, I think, the 90s, where they had all of these young pitchers come up and it didn't really pan out. This group has had more success. Obviously, Jacob deGrom coming off, back-to-back Cy Young Awards, that's some of the best pitching this franchise has ever seen. But collectively, all of them have dealt with their injuries. And now, with Syndergaard, I don't even know if he's going to pitch in 2021 or how much he will pitch, and then he becomes a free agent. So you're at a point now where at one point the Mets had, Matt Harvey, DeGrom, Wheeler, Mats, the whole lot, and now it's down to basically just DeGrom and Mats for the next couple of years. Of course, DeGrom signed the long-term deal, but it's definitely one of those things for Mets fans where they look at what that group was supposed to do when they were, on ESPN covers back in 2015 going into the World Series and what they accomplished. And it's definitely kind of left a little bit of a bitter taste in Mets fans' mouth. Hopefully, the team can win over the next couple of years with Jacob deGrom and maybe kind of, get a little redemption for the Mets fans.
And so overall, looking at the outlook, you've still got those guys there, and it's, a tough break to lose Syndergaard, but Pete Alonso lighting the world on fire last year. He looks like he's hopefully going to be a star for years to come. And although Robinson Cano isn't, 2012, 2014 Robinson Cano, he still has some production, and Cespedes looks to be back as well. Is this team still right in the middle, it seems like, of that win now window for the Mets?
Yeah, what I've been saying is that if you look at this roster, I would say, the Braves are the best team in the division on paper going into the year. But I think the Mets have kind of the highest ceiling out of all those other contenders. I think if everything comes together, if Cespedes is healthy, if Cano, hits the way he did in the second half, which was very good, and what he's done throughout his career, they still have a group that can go out and win this year. Jeff McNeil, of course, was an all-star last year. And to me, I almost look at him as the Mets' best player. I know that's kind of shocking, but Pete Alonso has the power. Jeff McNeil kind of does it all. So I think they have a lot of good young talent that kind of came up last year, especially those position players. And if everything breaks right for them, they can contend this year and in the near future as well.
So last thing for you, Ryan, before we let you go, is we look into this. It's an interesting Mets team because, they won 86 games last year and had that hot second half, and they were a really fun team to watch for that stretch last year in the second half. But an interesting offseason for them with Callaway out, you bring in Beltran, and then immediately have to let him go after the fallout with the Astros. So Luis Rojas will now be the manager for the Mets. Just kind of give me your quick take from a Mets perspective on all that going down in this offseason and being, the scope widened a little bit because we haven't gotten back to games being played yet.
Well, I'll say that, from I think it was a very kind of Metsian thing where there's this huge sign-stealing scandal sweeping across baseball that had nothing to do with the Mets, but because they chose to hire Carlos Beltran, they ended up getting swept up in it. So it was just one of those things, but I think they landed on a nice candidate in Luis Rojas. He's been in the organization for years. He's the guy that kind of paid his dues to get that shot. And the team, pretty much everyone that's on that roster, has been managed by Luis Rojas at one point or another. So I think when you look at that, they ended up with a pretty good outcome through a pretty bad circumstance that happened through the whole Carlos Beltran and the sign-stealing scandal.
And so the Orioles and the Mets, it's two teams that haven't made a deal since 2006, when the Orioles sent John Main and Jorge Julio over to the Mets for Chris Benson. if you remember back 14 years ago, but maybe a couple teams that'll start dealing again in the future with one rebuilding and one in its win now mode. But Ryan, thank you so much for joining us. You can catch Ryan over on the Locked On Mets podcast during the Locked On Podcast Network. And again, Ryan, thank you so much for your time and hope you're staying safe.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.
So again, our thanks to Ryan Finkelstein. He is the host of Locked On Mets here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Joins us for a little Brad Brock talk, who again will be back with the Mets in 2020, and to talk about that Mets team in general, because really, to be honest, it is a very, very intriguing team. Just to think about that NL East division, you know, you've got the reigning World Series champion, the Nats. You've got a Phillies team who continues to add to that roster and spend big money, obviously, with Harper. They brought in Real Muto. They signed Zach Wheeler to the big contract this offseason. They're in win now. And you've got those two teams, and then you haven't even mentioned the Atlanta Braves, who have won the last two division championships. And, of course, there's the Marlins, who will still be a rebuilding team that everybody tries to get wins against. But that's a very interesting Mets team that you know, look out for them to maybe make a push, especially if there's a shorter season this year, and see if they can get back into the postseason. It is a tough break for them to have Syndergaard out with the Tommy John surgery. Of course, the same time where they lose Zach Wheeler as he signs the big deal with the Philadelphia Phillies this offseason. But, you know, we love to see Brad Brock having success again after that little rough stunt with the Cubs through the first half and a little bit more portion of the 2019 season. Nice to see him bounce back with the Mets. Last thing before we go for this episode and for this week here on the pod, of course, wanted to give you one more little KBO update, as it is our live baseball that is going on over in Korea. The LG Twins, who are the team we have adopted because of Hyunsoo Kim and Tyler Wilson, they are 5-3 on the season at the time I'm recording this here on Friday evening. They had their game Friday morning Eastern time. That game was postponed due to weather. They were the only game of the five in the league that got postponed. So they will play a doubleheader on what will be Friday night / Saturday morning this weekend. So they'll have two games coming up against the Hanwha Eagles in a doubleheader, and then they will take on the Eagles once more the day after this weekend. Twins in fifth place right now at 5-3, top five, make the postseason. NC Dinos leading the way. They are 8-1 on the year. Actually, I misspoke. It's the LG Twins. They will be taking on the Kiwoom Heroes to start this series. Doubleheader against them Friday night into Saturday morning, and then Saturday night into Sunday morning, they will play them for the third game of the series. Tyler Wilson had a nice bounce-back start his last time out. Dan Straley earlier this morning had an okay start for the Lotte Giants as the former Orioles continue to get sent out there for these KBO teams. It's been interesting to watch them, but Hyunsoo Kim, he has been on fire so far, hitting .455 with a .500 on base. He's got a homer, 9 RBIs on the year so far. He's been pretty good, and it's been fun to, you know, get up early, stay up late, watch these games, and get some live baseball. But other than that, that's it for today's episode of the pod. We hope you're liking what you're hearing during our quarantine time without Major League Baseball. And if you're looking for more sports, the Bundesliga, the soccer league, professional soccer league in Germany, starts back up tomorrow morning on Fox Sports 1. So we will get some more live sports, but nothing in the U.S. quite yet, although NASCAR and the PGA Tour will be coming back in the next couple days and weeks to be the first ones back in the United States. But if you're liking what you're hearing on the pod, make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, wherever you are listening right now. Give us a rating and a review if you can. It really, really helps out the pod a lot. We will be back with you 3 more episodes next week. But until then, this has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Next up, maybe tell your smart device to play the latest episode of Locked On MLB.